Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Hell, good middle of the night. Welcome to Cases of Color. I am your host, Randy Baum, and today I am going to be talking to you about the very, very suspicious and very near and dear to my heart case about Lavina Johnson, Private Lavina Johnson, to be exact. Lavina Johnson was said to have committed suicide. However, as we get into the details of this case, you're going to see why this case falls under my questionable circumstances category, because I just don't believe anything that these people have said about this wonderful young lady. But in order for this case to resonate with you the way it resonated with me, I want you all to learn about her story. Lavina Johnson is the daughter of Dr. John Johnson, who is a service veteran, and Linda Johnson. Lavina Johnson was so deeply loved by her family and her parents. They meant so much to her. Lavina was born and grew up in Florissant, Missouri. She was a young and ambitious girl who was an honor roll student, and she wanted to join the Army so that her college could be free. She just didn't want to put any burden on her family, even though they didn't mind taking care of her and sending her off to school. But she wanted to make sure that she was showing that she could take care of herself. She was very, very independent. And also, she was very excited to join the military and follow in her father's footsteps. And her parents weren't opposed to her joining. And not too long after joining, she was deployed to Iraq and she was stationed in Balad. She had only been there for 8 weeks before her sudden death on July 19th, 2005. 8 days before her 20th birthday. Lavina Johnson was very close to her family, and she used to write home and she would talk to her parents about how there were some unfair treatment of the female soldiers, from name calling to not addressing them by their rank specifically and just calling them females instead of calling them by their rank, and even them calling them a very demeaning name like Soul, spelled S-O-L, which was half of a soldier. So it was meant to just take away from their ability to contribute to their environment. And it wasn't just aimed at Lavina. It was at a lot of the females in the deployed location that they were dealing with it as well. And her father was worried about her, and he told her that she should get a battle buddy, which is the equivalent of someone that just never leaves you alone. It's like having a wingman. They always have your back. They're always around you. And it's just so you're never really by yourself. But she told her dad that she didn't want to do that. She didn't really feel comfortable doing it because she didn't want to seem like she couldn't handle things on her own. And even though her dad really wanted her to have one, he decided to kind of take a step back, realized that Lavina was coming into adulthood, and let her take care of it. Unknown to her family, while on this deployment, she had actually been sexually assaulted and was at the time being treated for an STD. She never disclosed this to her family, and it didn't come out until they got further information after she had died. Maybe she was afraid to tell them. Again, sometimes people who are victims of sexual assault, they don't always feel comfortable speaking out. But nevertheless, she never told her family about what happened to her. On July 17th, this was the last time that anyone from Lavina's family heard from her. She spoke to her mother, and as her mother describes it, she was in such good spirits. She mentioned the possibility of being able to be home for Christmas. And she asked her mother, "Mom, please don't decorate the tree until I get here," because that's something that she loved to do with her family. It meant a lot to her. And on July 19th, the Johnson family got a notification that changed their lives forever. Two servicemen came and knocked on the door, and they let them know that their daughter had died. Lavina's mother was inconsolable. But the father, he was very suspicious because he knew that his daughter was not in a combat zone. Lavina was a communications troop, and she worked in a communications building. She was never in a direct line of fire. So to hear that she had died just threw him off, because he said, you know, How did this happen to my daughter? And one of the soldiers who was there to give the notification accidentally let it slip that she had taken her own life. But when her father, which of course became even more suspicious, questioned the soldier, he decided to backtrack and not say anything else. The following day, after being notified, they received a phone call giving them more details about their daughter's death. The mother was just completely heartbroken. But the father, ever since he heard that, you know, that service member disclosed that his daughter had taken her own life, he was very suspicious. And he had determined that he was going to get to the bottom of everything. And he was told that his daughter's death was a suicide, even though he did not believe at all that that's what happened to his little girl. He was told that his daughter got off shift around 4 to 5 p.m. that evening and that she locked up the building that she worked in, and they made the assumption that she was headed to physical training. The reason why they made that assumption is because she was found in her physical training sweatpants. So they thought that that's probably where she was headed. Even though she got off work around 4 to 5, nobody really saw her after she got off work. So some people were looking for her, but they really had no luck finding her at all. And it wasn't until a few more hours later that she was found in a contractor tent. And she was laying on her back in a pool of blood with her arm across her face. In the crime scene photos, just to kind of set the scene and give you all a visual, she's on her back, and on her left side, there are some burned papers, which are said to be letters that belong to Lavina. And on her right side, there's a green cot, like where someone would sleep. And on the very other side of that was an M16. Now, the reason why this M16 is a vital part of the information is because the Army claims that Lavina used an M16 assault rifle to end her life. If you know anything about automatic rifles or assault rifles, and even if you don't, one, they're not the smallest of weapons. Two, someone using that to end their life would be very brutal, and it would look very bad. If someone shot themselves in the head, you can almost guarantee that a big portion of their head where they shot themselves would be missing, and it would definitely come out the other side just because of the power behind a weapon of that magnitude. So that also raised some red flags for her father, because see, Lavina is only 5'1". And if you look up an M16, it is a rather large weapon. So for someone of her stature to be able to turn an M16 around on herself and shoot herself with that is almost illogical and very, very hard to do. And for me personally, as someone who has personally handled an M16, I can honestly say I'm very curious as to how even I would be able to do that. And I'm standing at about 5'10". So yeah, it's very suspicious, and it continues on and it keeps getting worse. So with that layout in mind, it's just very suspicious that an M16 that this woman used to allegedly shoot herself is so far away from her body in these crime scene photos. It's nowhere near her. It's nowhere close to her, which is just raising a lot of red flags. The Army said that she burnt letters from her boyfriend and that she killed herself because they were having so many problems. Lavina was very close to her family. Apparently, she was dating this boy for approximately 6 months, but her family was not aware of this relationship, and most importantly, definitely not aware of there being any issues either. Johnson's death was officially ruled a suicide by the Army, and the Army even went so far to contact her father and to tell him that they recommend that he just do a closed casket, because they said, you know, for someone to shoot themselves in the head with an M16, it's a very gruesome sight, and it would just be in your best interest to keep the casket closed. However, her father was like, no, I don't think so. And he definitely had his suspicions going, and he decided to have the funeral home where they were having the funeral open the casket and remove her body. And he personally looked over the body of his daughter, and he had so many red flags pop up. Before I get into the details of the things he found, I want to just warn everybody that a lot of the details of what happened to Lavina are very, very gruesome, and they could be triggering for some of you. I do recommend that if you are triggered, please, please, please go ahead and turn this off now. And even if you are not, please ensure that there are no small children around, because these details are very, very, very gruesome. When her father opened the casket, the first thing that he noticed is that his daughter's face and head were in pristine condition. Her nose did look like it was broken. However, upon further review, it also looked like someone attempted to pop it back into place, but it was kind of pushed over to the side. She also had cuts and scratches on her face, and she also had a small bullet wound on the left side of her head, which was very suspicious. Lavina was right-handed, and typically when someone uses a certain hand to shoot in a suicide, that's also the hand they would use to shoot themselves. It would almost be illogical for someone to use a different hand than their dominant shooting hand to shoot themselves, or to shoot at anything for that matter. It would almost be like you being right-handed but randomly deciding to write like the best paper of your life with your left hand. It just wouldn't make sense because that's not your dominant writing hand. She also had cuts and scratches on her face. She had a bullet wound on her left side of her head, like I said. Upon further review from her dad, he looked at the bullet wound on the side of her head. It was actually very small. And, you know, her dad had seen combat before. He was also familiar with the M16 weapon. And he knew as soon as he saw that bullet hole that it did not come from an M16. She was actually shot with a 9mm handgun. So again, not only is it not on the side that she predominantly uses to shoot, it's not even the weapon that the army is claiming that she used. And another very, very suspicious thing is that they put gloves on her body because she was sent back home in her service uniform. A part of that uniform is a set of gloves, and they glued the gloves onto her hand. Now, there is a multitude of reasons why this would happen. And again, this is all alleged because the army still stands by their ruling. But I mean, they could be using this to cover up damage that they did to her head, her hands. Maybe they, you know, wanted to burn underneath her fingernails, DNA evidence. I mean, you name it. But they glued the gloves onto her hands, and even her father asked the man at the funeral home, you know, is this normal? And he said, no, this is not very normal at all. Even if you do put gloves on a corpse to sit down and, you know, glue them to a dead body is just very abnormal. He wouldn't even think of anyone that would do it or a reason to do it. Some of the things that the army did that was very suspicious, or better yet, did not do, was a rape kit. They did not conduct a rape kit at all. And when I get into the next set of details about what happened to Lavina, you're going to be looking at them really sideways. They also didn't do any fingernail testing. They did not scrape under her nails to even check and see if there's a possibility that someone might have done something to her, or that there was foul play. The Johnson family actually hired an investigator to look into the case, but initially the army absolutely did not want to cooperate. They didn't want to release any information whatsoever. But thanks to the Freedom of Information Act, eventually they had no choice. But the quality of information that they gave the family was, in my opinion, the epitome of trash. They basically took the photos and did Xerox copies of them. They were grainy. They were low quality. They were in black and white, so you couldn't even see all the detail. But nevertheless, even with those absolutely horrible photos, they were still able to see that what the army was telling them was not consistent with what they truly believe happened to their daughter. And it made it so clear that a cover-up was happening. They found out that Lavina had absolutely no gunpowder on her hands. And even after reporting her rape, allegedly the army stated that they had no record of who she accused. And after going to Congress and dealing with a 2-year battle with the Army, they finally got a vital CD-ROM that helped them with the case. So when they got the initial release of information, like I said, they got Xerox copies. And one of the things that was randomly copied was a CD-ROM. Like literally, if you placed a CD-ROM on a scanner and ran it, like just a photocopy of an actual CD. And the family felt that that was there for a reason. And they felt that there was something on that CD-ROM that was going to be beneficial to them finding out more of what happened to their daughter. So once the 2-year battle was over, they took it to Congress and kind of went to war with the Army, you know, no pun intended. They got a hold of the actual CD-ROM, and it had original photos of the crime scene in color that made it even more clear and further proved the family's suspicion that their daughter's death was a cover-up. They also got a second autopsy report done on her. And between the autopsy report and the photographs, it revealed that Johnson had a broken nose, a black eye, loose teeth, burns from corrosive chemicals on her genitals, which were later determined to be lye, a gunshot wound that was very inconsistent with a suicide. And it was suspected, because again, alleged, that the chemical burns were used to destroy DNA evidence of a rape. The photos that were taken, if you were to look at them, you can see that one of her elbows was popped out of place. Her back was covered in mud and debris, none of which were in the contractor's room. So she had to have been drugged from one place to another to get all this on her. She had burn marks on her hands and her back. My personal conclusion with that is that they probably tried to burn a part of her body to get rid of evidence, or maybe even burn the body as a whole. That's really all I can deduce from that, this horrible, gruesome scene. She had severe bruising on her stomach. One of the worst discoveries from this autopsy as well is that her tongue, a part of her tongue, part of her anus and parts of her vagina were cut out. They believe that something called wound stat, or also known as quick clot, had been used in those areas that were cut out. So quick clot and wound stat are commonly used in combat settings, and the purpose of them is so that you can get any wound that's like bleeding profusely to clot up. But the only disadvantage is that once you put quick clot or wound stat into a wound is that it's going to harden and it has to be surgically removed. So whatever hardens up will be surgically cut out. And the assumption is that that was probably done to hide DNA evidence or certain things that happened to her. Her neck was also found to be broken. And everything that I just read to you that they got on the second autopsy report and from photographs was not on the Army's autopsy report at all. As a matter of fact, the Army finished their autopsy report on July 22nd and did not call Lavina's dad to let him know about their findings or anything until August 3rd. So they waited all that time to even let him know what they quote unquote found. They basically attempted to convince this family that this young woman punched herself, burned herself, poured acid on her genitals, drug herself through dirt, and also burned her hands, burned her own back, bruised her own stomach, distended her own elbow, broke her own nose, harmed herself, on top of the fact that she also committed suicide. Mind you, keeping in mind that a part of her tongue, a part of her vagina, and a part of her anus were cut out of her body. Yet they still ruled this a suicide. And to this day, the Army stands by their assertion that Lavina committed suicide. And they are very adamant about not reopening this case. The Criminal Investigation Command for the Army said, and I quote, "Facts are facts. And we stand by our investigation that concluded Lavina Johnson's death is a suicide." This is an absolutely heartbreaking story. If you think about Lavina and how her aspirations were just to go to school, be educated, and be like her dad, someone who she loved, someone who she looked up to, and serve her country and earn her education for free without having to have her family pay for it, and to see her life so quickly taken away and covered up, to give it all to your country and to be discarded by that same organization that you swore your life to, that you pledged an oath to, it's heartbreaking. There's a documentary that I will link down below. It is called Lavina Johnson, The Silent Truth. It was put together with her family, so it has their blessing. And it talks about even more in detail about what happened to Lavina and how the family was treated and how they still have an ongoing fight for Lavina and for, you know, her life and for her legacy and for people to remember who she was and most of all how important she was to her family. So I encourage all of you to watch it if you find it in your heart to do so. Also, there's a petition on moveon.org, and that is to get the Army to reopen the case. You know, they've been very adamant about it. However, maybe your signature could make a difference. And for that, I think you should sign it if you feel so inclined to do so. I feel like every effort we put in to keep these cases alive, to keep pushing for them to be reopened if it's suspicious, to keep pushing for people to look deeper into different leads, I feel like then cases of color is doing what it's supposed to do. Let's continue this conversation about Lavina Johnson on the Cases of Color Instagram at Cases of Color and on the Cases of Color Twitter at Cases of Color or hashtag Cases of Color. Let's talk about Lavina Johnson. Let's get a thread going. Let's get some conversation moving. What do you think the Army could gain from covering this up? How do you think things played out for her? How do you think it got to this point? Do you even have a theory on what exactly you think truly happened to her and why it happened to her? I want to have these discussions with you all. Most importantly, though, being respectful to the victim and respectful to the families, because we're here to bring notoriety, not to tear down these missing and murdered loved ones whatsoever. So thank you all so much for tuning in to my first episode of Cases of Color. I will have these every Tuesday for a True Crime Tuesday with Cases of Color. I'm your host, Randy Baum, and this has been absolutely outstanding. I look forward to seeing you all or hearing you all or talking to you all again.